All right, you guys ready? Yeah, you excited to have a fun, exciting weekend?
Yeah.
Good. My name is Nick, and I'm excited to be here. I'm a songwriter, musician. My wife, Darla, is amazing. She's a circus acrobat professionally. So you're going to hear from her, and also our son, he's also an acrobat. He also went through a really amazing experience this past summer that you guys can hear about, and then I'll play a few songs. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So here's Darla. Please give it up for Darla.
Hey. Guys, I'm so excited to be here with you. So we get to talk a lot and do a lot. Normally, someone's watching Mini Squish, but she may like interrupt a few times, and you're all just going to be her brothers and sisters today. Yeah, she's probably going to go make friends with all of you. But yeah, I'm Darla. I came from a family of six kids. I am right in the middle. Any middle children in here? We're the troubled children, right? I'm just kidding. But kind of. So I grew up, like I said, six kids. I was in the middle. I have two older sisters. And my older sisters are amazing. But growing up, it was really hard because they're so smart, okay? Like, intellect scholars. They were valedictorians. We didn't homeschool, but they were valedictorian. They spoke at graduation. They were, like, amazing. And then there was Darla. And I came to school, and they're like, oh, my gosh, you're Christy and Brina's sister. And then they realized I was nothing like them at all. I like to slough class and play with my friends and go get tacos at Taco Bell and those, like, swirly cinnamon things, you know. Oh, that was, like, my jam, and apple beer. Apple beer is like root beer if you've never had apple beer here in Idaho. It's so good. Yeah. Thanks, Mom. So that was my life, and so I kind of thought because I was different than what was normal, right, there was something wrong with me. And so I kind of had this belief like, oh, well, I must be less than because I don't like the normal way of learning, like my siblings, you know. And so it was kind of hard, but I loved the arts. So that was something that I really, like, connected with in school was music. So I played the violin, I sang, I did choir, I did drama and plays and musicals in the community and in school, and I loved that. And music was always a big part of my life. But as I continued to grow up, these feelings that I had at the beginning of, like, doubt about, oh, I'm different, that must mean there's something wrong with me, they kind of started to bubble up, and I kind of couldn't keep pushing them down. And so naturally, I ran away and joined a circus. And that was going to solve all our problems. And so I did. I went and joined a Mexican seven-generational circus in Texas. I trained under the Big Top, like just like you would imagine. And every single night, because I trained at night, because it was hot in Texas, so I trained from like 8 p.m. until 2 a.m. That was like the schedule, and we'd have to go up and shake our silks, and all these cockroaches and bugs would fall out. So gross. But yeah, that was it. I think there's another few slides. So I kind of just escaped to the circus and tried to express myself that way, and it was awesome. Like, it was great. But I still kind of found myself trying to search, right? And I mean, what's the next slide? I can't remember. Oh, that's me and my onesie. So, yes, you can do the next one. So, I've had the opportunity to perform under some of the biggest lights in the world, right? And it's awesome. And I'm just going to give you a little snippet so you can see how cool I am, so then you'll listen to me. So, this is just like an example. Just kind of, these are called silks.
Aerial silks.
Aerial silks. So they wouldn't let me hang from the ceiling here, so we have to do it on the TV. It's So anyway, so yeah, so I got to do that all around the world. Lots of different theaters, lots of different places, lots of different stages, lots of big lights. And still, I felt empty. And I felt like just these holes that I was trying to fill still weren't being filled, even under the warmest, most amazing lights and the most amazing music and the most amazing things. And so I eventually, like I said, I started having all of these feelings, like, well, at the time I didn't know what they were, but like anxiety, and I was feeling depressed sometimes, and I was feeling I just was feeling out of sorts, and like I didn't fit in anywhere, and that I wasn't like fitting the norm, and so anyway, eventually these feelings became too much for me, and I grew up very faithful in my religion, and believing in God, and believing in Jesus Christ, and that was kind of like an anchor for me. But after a time where my life wasn't really getting better, like my feelings weren't getting better, and I was still feeling overwhelmed, and I was still feeling less than, I was still feeling all these things, it just wasn't enough for me, or I wasn't letting it be enough for me. And I eventually just got kind of sick of it. And I was like, well, I'm kind of done believing in all of this stuff. So I'm just going to stop, and I'm just going to live my life the way that I feel like living my life. And I'm just going to welcome anything that the world has to offer me that's going to make me feel better or numb my pain, or I'm going to go party and that will make me feel better and all of these crazy things, okay? And so I started to live my life that way because I thought, well, that wasn't working, so now I'm just going to go the opposite direction and see if that works. And I tried that for a while, and it was horrible. And so whereas I thought that like living this way and living dangerously and living just however I wanted with nothing to hold me back was going to make me happier, it chained me down. And I eventually just kind of was like, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't live like this anymore. Okay, whoops, back it up. And I tried to back it up and I tried to change and I couldn't. And I couldn't let go of all of these habits. And I couldn't let go of all of these awful things that I had started grasping onto. And that was so scary. And all of the ways that I thought that I could just make everything better and that the world could take care of all of these problems for me, it didn't make me better. It made me completely trapped. And so one day, we live in Utah. And one day I was driving on the freeway, and there is a place in Utah right where we live that's called the Point of the Mountain. And it's kind of where Utah's counties split into two. And I was approaching the Point of the Mountain, and I had a thought to pray. And I didn't like praying. I was like, praying doesn't work for me. Praying hasn't ever worked for me. Why would I do that? But the thought came again, pray. And so I said a prayer, and I said it out loud. Heavenly Father, if you're there, if you even care, is there still hope for me? And instantly, I heard a voice come into my mind, and I felt it in my heart. And the voice said, look out your window to the right. And I looked, and there was the prison. And then the voice said, look out your window to the left, and there was the temple, which, if you don't know what the temple is, in our religion, it's a very sacred and holy place where we worship. And then the voice said, you're free to choose liberty or death. And in that moment, I felt completely empowered that even though I had made really bad choices for a really, really long time, trying to figure out the world and figure out myself, God still trusted me to make choices for myself. And this liberty, freedom, heaven was still an option for me. And so after that, it doesn't mean that everything was fabulous and sparkly and wonderful. But little by little and step by step and choice by choice, I was able to kind of come out of that pit that I had been living in. And I was able to see all of the things that for all my life I thought were imperfections and were made me less than and made me different, that all of those things actually made me super powerful and super unique and super helpful to this world. So I may not be like my older sisters who are scholars and extremely intelligent and intellectual and all of this, but I am creative and I can be charismatic and I can do all of these other things that bring different kind of light to the world. And so I feel like we're here right now learning how to educate, right? Well, the circus was my education, so doesn't that open the floor to a lot of educational experiences, right? And I've also learned that God directs everything. And so if God's a part of your life or if he's not, or you believe in a higher power or not, I absolutely believe that thinking that way, that there is something bigger than me guiding me that created me, and that I have this infinite potential. If I involve him in my prayer and in my educational experience, he's going to open doors for me that I never knew existed. And so now, not only, I mean, did I have this awesome adventure of performing as a circus acrobat, I have two circus schools now where there's hundreds and hundreds of kids who come to my circus school and learn how to be acrobats. But not just that, they learn how to be good people. They learn how to trust themselves. They learn how to trust each other. When you're, there's something in the circus called, here you can show Bear, what's a circus grip? A circus grip. So whenever you're doing partner stuff, like there's something called the circus grip where you, literally the person is your apparatus, right? And you learn how to trust, you learn how to show up for people, you learn how to be strong, you learn how to believe in yourself. All of these amazing lessons, right? But you can learn those anywhere. You can learn those in math. You can learn those in track. You can learn those in violin. Like, you can learn all these lessons everywhere. Where I thought that education, when I heard that word, I was like, that just means super boring school stuff. But for me, I got my doctorate degree in circus education. And the doctorate degree was given to me by me, okay? But that was that's kind of how awesome life is. It's just a complete open picture, and you get to paint it. And you get to be a part of it. You get to decide for yourself, too, what you want to learn, what you want to do. I think that's so awesome. I also believe that God puts into your heart desires. He puts into your heart desires because he made you. He created you. So when you get those desires, like, I kind of feel like I want to try this or I want to do this, do it. You should, because he put that in you. I think that's so amazing. There's one other little part I wanted to say before Baron, my amazing son, comes up here and chats. This whole conference is called Gathering the Harvest. And the word that I connect to in that is gather. And the reason is I was able to go through a difficult wilderness journey, my own. And when I felt like I could come out on the other side and I could go back and look at where I had been, and now I have all these little circus humans following me, like, what do you naturally want to do when you, like, make it past a mountain? You want to turn back and reach your hand out and help other people who are going through something because you've seen the other side. That's just natural. And for me, that's what gather means, is that I'm constantly trying to gather people by what, from my own experiences, from what I've learned. And that's what naturally we all do, especially when we feel the love of God or the light in our life. That natural, the natural instinct that comes with that is to help other people feel that. And so Baron is going to be an awesome example of that as he kind of chats with you about his experience and how even in the short amount of time from that experience, he has already started gathering people and telling people his story and using it to help people. Oh, but before he does that, Nick's going to sing a song. about if you believe, because we just talked about mountains and moving mountains, right, and climbing around mountains and reaching behind, and I was like, oh, you should sing this song. So he's going to sing If You Believe, and if you know it, sing it.
All right. So the first step to reaching any goal or becoming anything in your life is to believe it, right? If you don't believe it, what's going to happen? Nothing. Nothing's going to happen. It first starts with the thought, right? Like you believe in yourself, you believe it's actually possible, and open up that door to the possibility. And that's kind of what the song's about. If you believe you can move the highest mountains, cross the greatest oceans, walk across the water, you feel the feeling falling on your knees and looking up for some hope tonight. You try to stand up, but you throw your hands up like you no longer have the strength to fight. Cause you've seen too many sunsets, too many days ending in the darkest night. Cause on your own, you'll never know, you'll never know. If you believe you can move the highest mountains, cross the greatest oceans, walk across the water, believe you can move the highest mountains, cross the greatest oceans, and walk across the water, if you believe. Say that all you need is faith, but it's almost like you lost your way. Took a few long turns, took a few breaks, falling behind now looking for grace. Cause you need someone to lift you up, yeah, make right all the things you've done. Cause on your own, you'll never know, you'll never know. If you believe you can move the highest mountains, cross the greatest oceans, walk across the water, believe you can move the highest mountains, cross the greatest oceans, walk across the water, if you believe, if you believe, yeah, you can do anything, you can do anything. You can do anything if you believe. If you believe, you can move the highest mountains, cross the greatest oceans, and walk across the water, the water. Believe you can move the highest mountains, cross the greatest oceans, and walk across the water. If you believe. Nice. Very, very good. All right. So now I had the privilege of meeting this young man when he was 9 years old, when I married Darla, and he became my son. And so that was exciting. But he is an incredible person, and he, well, I'll let him tell you his story. But he's been so wonderful in our family, and he's such a talented, talented young man. But I will let you tell him his story. He is going to blow your minds with his wisdom.
Hi, everyone. My name is Baron, and I'm here to talk to you about my walking in the wilderness. So, like my mom, I am an aerialist acrobat, and that's what I've been doing for most of my life. You see me do my own makeup and performing on the same stage as my mom, which means I'm pretty cool, because, like, she's amazing. So I've just been around her my whole life. I grew up just backstage, you know, and finally became on the stage.
You want to see a video of him?
Yeah. There's a video of me.
Yeah. He's right there. He's holding one of the people. He's that one on the top.
That's right. Which one are you wearing short?
I'm on the globe.
That's it.
He's on the web. That's it.
That one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He holds people's lives in his hands.
Circus grip.
Trust.
So, even with all of that, you know, that amazingness that I was able to do, I still felt overwhelmed by the world. I was bullied every day at school, and I just had to live with it, you know? Like, it just wasn't a great place to be for me. And I knew that there was a better place that I could be, but I wanted to know how to find it. But I could never get in the right mindset to, like, find where I belong, to find where I needed to be. It was this trying to make it work at school and with friends and with this and that, and it just didn't. And I eventually got so bad that I was seriously considering taking my own life. It's really sad that that's even an option nowadays. You know, it's more common now than it ever has been, and I hope that one day we can make it so it never will be as common as now. So I remember it was Memorial Day, so not too long ago, and I just came to my parents and I was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't keep moving forward. I need to do something, you know, do something about it. And there's always, like, well, there's mental hospitals, but, like, for me, that's not the right, I don't need to be treated to be better. I just need to learn how. So we stumbled across this one wilderness therapy camp program, and it's called Anasazi, if you can see my shirt. What's the next slide, just so I know? Yeah, that's me. So this little cup, I would have about 2 of those a day. So not a lot of food. This is a tarp, and that's like what my blanket, that's what I would wear to sleep. That was my outfit, you know. I was out there for 7 weeks. I had to make my own food, make my own fire. So I had to gather wood and learn how to make fire. Oh, there's a video. So this is me making fire. There's a spindle, and that's the thing that's moving. And then there's the bow. That's what...
We're water.
And then there's a rock socket to keep the spindle. And then a fire board, which actually makes a coal. And so when I get a coal, you see the smoke. And that black thing is coal. I put it in this, it's called a tinder bundle. It's made of really shaggy bark. I put that in there and I just blow and I blow and I blow. Until I make fire.
Good job. Fire.
Yeehaw.
Not yet.
Propane. Mm-hmm. So it was really hot in Arizona, so I had to use a propane tank because we were put on fire restriction. But then you would put that in, like, pine needles or, like, little tiny sticks and then make an actual fire. But yeah.
He wasn't wearing shoes.
Yeah, I didn't wear shoes out there. What's the next slide? Just so I know.
Just us all together there.
Okay, cool. So that's what I had to do to make food. And there are some days where we couldn't get it. Which means there are some days where we just didn't eat food. Which sucks when you're hiking 9 hours a day in 100-degree weather in the Arizona sun. Yeah, it was not ideal. There were also times where we would get to our campsite and the water there was all dried up. So we were just, like, super dehydrated. You know, my lips were insanely chapped at times because I was like, all I want is water. I need water. But the nearest place to get water was 3 hours away, and we didn't even know for sure if that was the right place to go or another place. So it was always just a guessing game, whether where water was. And so it just, you gotta learn to live that. You just need to stay alive, you know? And I learned by the times of like near death or experiences where I'm literally on a cliff hiking with a 40-pound pack carrying everything I have. If I slip, I will fall and I will die, and that will be my life. And I gotta learn that life is extremely, extremely valuable. It's not something to play with or tamper with, and we just gotta be ourselves and value that we are human beings. And you know what? That's all that matters. It doesn't matter what you do in your life or how much value that makes you have. It doesn't. Then you already have your value, and the value is that you are a human being and that you are alive and that you are striving to always become better. I had to learn that out there, you know, out in the wilderness. And I had to make sure I didn't go crazy. I was like thinking, like, how can I connect myself to God, you know, to a heavenly being, to a savior that can help me get through these horrible, horrible, dangerous hikes and times. And I just looked at a pine cone, and then I looked up, and this tree was ginormous. It was just the tallest tree I've ever seen. I pick up this pine cone, and it's just that big. And I'm like, how can something this small turn into something that big? There has to be a God. There has to be a heavenly being than us, because this cannot be explained. It was something so beautiful to me, and it helped me whenever times got low. I could just look up, and there's a giant tree, and I know that God was there with me, and that he was helping me move forward, take that one step at a time. There are people there who were there for more harsh reasons than I was. Like people who have done the worst things you could ever possibly think of. And I had to live with them. And there were times where I had to sleep with a knife, because you never know what crazy people can do sometimes. And so your mind is in a state of fight or flight. And out there, flight is not an option, because if you run away, you will probably die. So you always got to be prepared and be ready. Eventually, everyone I was there with turned around and realized that everything was supposed to work out, and we were all very good friends by the end. My bandmates, as we called, and it was just a lot of trust and building together. So my parents are divorced. My mom lives on one side of the freeway, and my dad lives on the other side of the freeway. So we're very, very, very close. My mom was lucky enough to marry the best musician in the whole world, and my dad was lucky enough to marry the best designer in the world. She's amazing and very good at designing like costumes and all the things. Anyway, so this is me meeting my family after 49 days out in the wilderness, and I was able to show them what I did out there, you know, showing them fire. I had to cook for them. I had to feed them, because if it weren't for me, they would die. We had a car at that point, so we could have just drove, but it was really special to be able to have all four of my parents with me, standing on my side. That's what parents are supposed to do for us. You know, they're always, always there. Just like they're all your ride or dies, you know? That's why it's important to, when you're picking an education or when you're learning or anything that happened at school, it's important to tell your parents. You know, maybe there's something that didn't quite feel right, that one of your teachers taught you or one of your friends said. You can always go back to your parents. And you got to build that trust, that connection, and know that they're there for you. Even though it's hard to show it, they always love you and they're always on your side. I just always will remember hanging out with my parents there, just staying with them. And it was kind of like fake at first. You know, I was there for 49 days. I was scared that black bears were going to eat my food during the night or I would, like, there's endless things. Just think about being in the wilderness and the scary things that happened. And, well, I probably was very close to that scary thing happening, if that makes sense. But being with my family, I just remember I just saw them and I just started crying. I wasn't, like, planning on crying. You know, I was just crying because I was like, oh, my gosh, I am safe now. Like, I am safe. And I felt that comfort with them that I missed for so long. Then after family camp, which was about 2 days, we went and drove in the car and went back into Arizona and had 2,000 calories worth of Jack in the Box, which was really good after eating garbage food for 49 days. Some of the, we call them trail walkers, they were our counselors. They were like, you do realize that this is worse than prison food, right? I'm like, okay. But yeah, it all worked out in the end. What's the next slide?
Just the song
at the end. Okay, cool. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to like figure out how much time I have, what I have left to speak about, all the things. Anyway, but yeah, it helped me realize how much I need my family and how much they need me and how much people love me, my friends, my other family members. You know, you are an important person. You are. There's just, like, there's no way that you're not. Somebody has met you and they love you because you're just you. And you're your own unique individual. It's always difficult going to school, you know? It's like, well, I don't want to wake up at 6 a.m. and then go to school for 7 hours and come back home and fall asleep and do homework and do it all again the next day. It's really hard to be able to kind of get in that mindset of this is my life, you know? Like, where is the end? The end is in 10 years, you know, if, like, when you're actually done with school. And during that time, you can always remember when you're a little job, your little child, your favorite job, the job that you wanted was like, I want to be an astronaut or a police officer or fireman. Anyway, and now you're older, you just realize how much more there is to the world. And then next year, it might change, and then the next year after that, it might change as well. The thing is, we don't know what we're supposed to be doing, and that's why we always got to keep our parents and our Heavenly Savior and ourselves just intact, and know that it'll all work out in the end. No matter what we're supposed to do, no matter what we do, it will not derive us from the path that we're supposed to end up. As long as we, you know, stay respectful, responsible people, and be good. Know that there's always room to move forward. There's some days where you're like, this is as good as it's gonna get. And then you have another day and it's just so much better. So when I was out there, the first day was a little bit weird. my dad dropped me off, my other dad, and we said our goodbyes, and it was kind of hard to be like, I'm going to be away from everyone I love and my family for 49 days. So I kind of like got rid of that feeling. You know, I kind of felt just this intense feeling. It's not a great person to be around, honestly. Like, it was just a little bit of like all the darkness that I've been experiencing. And ever then when my parents left, I didn't really know what to do with that darkness, you know? And so the first day was really weird. We were in this little office getting all our stuff together. Little did I know that I was gonna be hiking 9 hours a day in a week after that, making fire every single time I needed to eat food. Like, you can't comprehend that. And so we were just sitting in this office. I was really, really tired because I couldn't sleep the night before, like any sane person would. And I just remember being there with all these different people that I was interested to meet, but also very scared because I knew that there was people there from who that I've had very, very, very dark pasts, have friends that have died due to stupid decisions, and them having to live with that and them having to act that out and take it out on me, you know, that's kind of scary, you know. And I regret this so much, but there was a box of donuts and I was like, I don't need donuts. And that kept me up at night out there. I was like, I need those donuts. And also with the choice of like, okay, Panda Express or pizza, I'm like, I don't want either, but I'm just going to eat a little bit of broccoli from Panda Express and then go in the car and then never eat again. Like, that's what it felt like. But then when I was there and our counselors were kind of like teaching us, okay, you're going to have to learn to make fire. I was like, okay, you're going to have to learn how to cook your own food. I was like, oh, I've made the tortilla chip hat from Despicable Me 2, where you break it off, dip the guac, and eat it. It was actually a really fun process. But, like, so I knew how to cook, but also I didn't really know how to, like, talk to people because I'm really awkward at school and people don't really like me that much, and I sometimes don't like them. But I had to learn how to talk to very difficult people, people that would be the type of kids that nobody would talk to at school, you know? And I had to learn how to go to the bathroom out there. I'm just going to tell you, going at night was not the greatest experience. I will say that we called them Black Panthers, you know? Mm-hmm. I only did 4, so I'm really proud of that for me. But after a while, it just kind of felt like the new normal. And then when I saw my parents, I couldn't believe it at first. You know, it felt fake. It felt like I thought I was supposed to live out here for the rest of my life. You know, like, that's what it felt like. And then we were able to grow a more deeper relationship for each other. And our love for each other just grew that much more. And our involvement in each other's lives is just so much more now. That connection, to be able to have that with someone, is an amazing feeling, to be able to be like, I can just fall back and I'll be fine. Someone is there to catch me and I'm okay. Walking in the wilderness was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I mean, I didn't know what I thought, but I'm just glad that I'm here now, and I know what I know now, and I have the experience that I had out there. It just makes me feel that much more loved, and knowing that I can survive out there is something it gave me confidence. Before Anasazi, I used to say my confidence is less than 0, but now I can confidently say that I and confident that if the zombie apocalypse happens today, we will be fine.
He's mine. He's so awesome. He's amazing. So before we wrap this up and have Nick serenade the stories of our lives, I just like to echo Baron what we've kind of all realized. After my little climb out of my pit, was everything sparkles and rainbows forever? No. Life is still hard. Life still throws you curveballs. Life still has trials. Life is still not always fabulous. But what I've learned is that, one, connecting with God is always better than disconnecting, and connecting with each other, with the people around us, with your family, with your friends, connection is everything. And that is what you're teaching in this conference. Gathering the harvest, connecting with each other. That's what you're doing right now. And so it's going to be a good day. It's going to be okay, right? Even though you're going to have those wilderness moments, and we're going to have those pitfalls, and we're going to have those things, just don't lose your hope, and don't lose your confidence, and don't lose your connections, and don't lose your connection with God. And it'll be okay. So good luck with your journeys. Good luck with the rest of this weekend. We're excited to sing to you tonight. Are you guys all coming to that?
Yeah.
Good. Do you know that it's in a different place now?
Yeah.
Okay. So awesome. I'm excited about that. But I want Nick to end with singing Good Day. Do you know this song?
Yes.
So he wrote this song in 2020. When literally it felt like the apocalypse happened. And literally our food storage was just like all peanut butter and Oreos, because I'm like, I'll be the person to trade with. Like, this will have everything you need, so peanut butter and Oreos. But anyway, when he was writing this, like, it did not feel like it was going to be a good day. Was that hard for any of y'all? It was hard for me, because I was like a performer and always around people, and then all of a sudden I was like in my house all the time, and I did not like that. I couldn't wear my cute outfits anywhere. I couldn't do anything. It was really hard, but listening to him, sorry, our baby is just about having it. Anyway, listening to him write this song was so awesome. So if you know this song, sing it. Okay, sing. Come here. Come here. Come here.
I think I know better. I think I know how it should be. I got it all planned out, but he's got a plan for me. But when it's bad weather, sometimes I yell up at the sky. Today was supposed to be dry, but that's not what I need. Life's so unpredictable, things might not be going my way. But it's gonna be a good day. The things are going sideways. I got a smile on my face. Nothing's gonna bring me down, cause I know whatever happens, he knows. He'll never leave me alone. And I'll be okay. And it's gonna be a good day. And it's gonna be a good day. He made all the planets, he made all the stars in the sky. He knows what he's doing, and he's gonna make it alright. The wind and the blowing, there might be a reason it is. There's something I'm learning, something I'll never forget. Life's so unpredictable, things might not be going my way. But it's gonna be a good day. No things are going sideways. I got a smile on my face. And nothing's gonna bring me down, cause I know whatever happens, he knows. He'll never leave me alone. I'll be okay. And it's gonna be a good day. And it's gonna be a good day. And it's gonna be a good day. Though things are going sideways, I got a smile on my face. And nothing's gonna bring me down, cause I know whatever happens, he knows he'll never leave me alone. And I'll be okay, and it's gonna be a good day. It's gonna be a good day.
All right, thank you so much for coming. Hope you guys had an enjoyable time. And we'll see you tonight if you come tonight. So have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
So take a break and be back
at the
end of the quarter
after.
Woo!
It's Grandma.
Yeah, it's Grandma. Look here. Go jump on it.
Oh,